today is the day to start putting God first. Because if you put Him first in everything you do, He promises to take good care of you. He promises. Just like the little boy and his sister and his mother and dad, they were coming from California and they were coming to Texas, and they were driving along, and at nighttime came, and they didn't have any money. They had just barely enough for gas to get here, and it takes 2 or 3 days for them to get here. And so when night fell, they stopped out in the country where some farmer, in some farm country, and was going to sleep in the car on the side of the road. Everybody hadn't always had these wonderful blessings of stopping in a Hilton or a Marriott, and then fussing because your covers wasn't turned down when you got in your room. Let me tell you, you people need to live where I've lived.
Amen.
You would be grateful when you went in there.
Amen.
Or you need to go where we was in Vietnam. Or these boys over in Afghanistan right now. You come home, you wouldn't complain. Oh my goodness gracious. But anyway, they stopped, and the little boy said, Daddy, what are we going to eat for dinner? And he said, well, son, we don't have anything to eat. We're just going to have to go without. He said, but Daddy, you read to us in the Bible that God said His children should not beg bread. So, Daddy, have you thought about praying?
Wow.
Now, see, this really hurts a grown man when he's a little child. That you're trying to teach the word. Daddy, have you thought about praying, asking God? Well, Daddy hadn't, of course. It's kind of like we are, we get big. And so they knelt down there and prayed and asked the Lord to give them something to eat. Well, and hadn't much more than stopped praying, and all of a sudden here comes a wagon down the road and a couple of horses, and the guy pulls up and he says, what are y'all doing here on the side of the road? He said, well, we're stopped here for the night. We're going to Texas, and we don't have enough money for food or hotel, so we just stop here and sleep in the car tonight. Oh, he said, y'all don't have any food either? He said, no. He said, I got a wagon load of watermelons, cantaloupes, cucumbers, everything. He said, just go back here and take what y'all want. Take enough for your whole trip. And so they put a whole bunch of stuff in the back of their car, and the guy rode on off with his wagon. The little boy said, see, Daddy, I told you we'd pray. God would send somebody by. Amen. Now, does God really answer prayer like that? For those of us that walk in obedience to His word, that have no fear in our heart, He's going to take care of us.
Amen.
You know, that man could have been an angel. You know that?
Amen.
There could have not been no such thing as that great man for real. But I believe that God can do those kind of things, and I believe He will do that to take care of His children. So He says here, He did this so that the requirements of the law would be fully accomplished for us who no longer follow our sinful natures. Now see, you and me have to make a choice.
Amen.
Am I going to follow my sinful nature, or am I going to tell that thing where to go?
Amen.
And am I going to tell it, devil, that sinful nature to get behind me, flesh?
Amen.
I'm not going there with you. I'm going to walk in obedience to God's word because I have read the word, and I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
5 and 6. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. How much money can I make this week? Wonder who I can steal. Wonder if I can cheat somebody out of this or that. What if I can do this? Look at that pretty girl over there. Oh, I'd like to go to bed with that girl or whatever. Or, oh, I'd like to have this. Or I'd like to have, I need to charge this much for this. I need to make a fortune off of this. All kinds of crazy things from the world. But those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Things that please the Spirit. Somebody says, we got a problem down at work. Have you prayed about it? What? Pray about it. Yeah. Have you prayed about it? No. Well, let me come down there and let's all pray. I'm going to come down there and we're going to get on our knees out there on the floor and we're going to pray. One time down there where I was working down at the airport, two of the young men, they were 40s and 45 years old. They were very knowledgeable in their skills. I walked out there on the floor and those two men had been working on a project all day long. I said, you guys got it figured out yet? He said, no, Thurman, we cannot get this thing to work. I said, have you guys prayed? He said, we have not. I said, okay, let's stop right here. Now, people everywhere. We stopped right there, knelt down on our knees, held our hands up, said, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, we don't pray silently, So we don't care if we offend anybody. We don't say, Let's go over here in the corner out of the way and let's do it right here where everybody can see us. Hold our hands up. Father, in the name of Jesus, we need knowledge and wisdom, God. We need to know how to fix this thing. We know you know everything. So, Father, in Jesus' name, show us how. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I stood up and said, okay, guys, it's done. No problem. You'll find the problem now, and it'll be done in a little while.
Right.
I mean, you know, everybody looks around and says, well, who's that crazy guy? No, they already learned. I'd already been there too many times. We walked away. I was gone about 30 minutes to come back. I said, well, how are you guys going? I said, we got it fixed. No problem. I said, right after you left, we found a problem. We already get it fixed. We're cleaning up. I said, it's done. It's working.
Amen.
I said, so what are we going to do next time? Pray. Yeah.
Yes,
I think about this one young man as God was teaching these young men to do this. There's this guy. He's about 50, and he had a real beautiful Trans Am, I believe it was, with a high-powered engine in it, and it came time to change the spark plugs. Well, he took it down to the dealership, and they wanted $250 to change the spark plugs. That's all they were going to do. He had his own plugs. That was just going to be the labor. He said, my lands, for $250, he said, I'll change them myself. And so he got back home, and he worked on that car all afternoon long. And the right front one, he got it out. It'd tear out all kinds of stuff. When he finally got it out, then he couldn't get that one back in. He worked on it for hours and couldn't get it in. The next day, he's telling one of the guys at work, one of the other mechanics there, he said, I couldn't get that front spark plug back. He said, oh, good grief. He said, I'll go home with you this afternoon on my way home. I'll stop by there, and I'll have it in there in 5 minutes. 4 hours later, they still don't have it in there. So next day, he tells one of the truck mechanics what happened. The guy said, oh, you guys don't know nothing about machinery. He said, I'll go by there this afternoon on my way home. I'll have that plug in there in 5 minutes. 4 hours later, it still ain't there. And so he come to me and said, Thurman, what do we do? I said, have you prayed? No, we haven't prayed. I said, okay. I said, well, go out there this afternoon and kneel down in front of your car, in front of everybody, and pray and ask the Father in Jesus' name to put that spark plug or send an angel or something. He went out there, humbled himself before God, knelt on his knees, 50-year-old man, held his hands up in front of his car and said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need some help to put that spark plug back in that engine. Send me an angel, do whatever you need to do, but I got to have some help. I can't do it, but I know you can. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Put the plug in that flexible socket, tuck it around through all that, stuck it down and started screwing in it, and in 10 seconds, it was screwed to the bottom.
Amen. Amen.
Now, what can we do after we ask? When is the church going to learn? Who is our boss?
God.
The Lord. I mean, Jesus is the head of the church, and he wants to help us when we ask, when we humble ourselves before him and ask. He said, there's not anything hard for me. And he means that. He means that. But when you're thinking sinful things, now, you know, these guys that are going, oh, I'm bigger than you. I can put that spark plug in. Do you hear any pride in that? Hear a little pride? That sounds kind of like me a few years ago. You know, I mean, isn't that the way we are as human beings? I mean, pride. What does God? Oh, God says, I draw near to those that are prideful. Is that what he said? Oh, he draws a long way away from those. Oh, Lord. So you don't we wonder why these boys couldn't get it done, huh? Because there was all that pride and they were joking with each other and God's not there. But when they pray and repent, if your sinful nature controls your mind, I don't like that. There's what? Death. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. That's like that man here a while back on this. There were a pastor and his wife and another pastor and two or three doctors and everything else. And they had a little girl. She was 13 years old, and she had multiple demons. And they were involved in casting these demons out of this little girl. And there was some awesome things happening. This man of God, as he was casting demons out of this little girl, different things in her body was changing right before their very eyes. They had never seen anything like this. But these deliverances go on sometimes for days. I mean, the longest one Cheryl and I has ever been involved with was 7.5 hours for one person. But, you know, sometimes these things do go on for days. But this guy, I think it was the second, maybe the third day that he'd been at it all afternoon, all the morning, started about 9 o'clock morning until it went to 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's either the second or third day when he was commanding these demons to leave and he was having all kinds of trouble with them. Once in a while, they'd speak to him through this little girl's voice. And finally, he kind of got tired. And this other pastor, which had never been involved in demonic stuff at all, he's observing. He said, you know, he said, you rest a while and I will command these demons to come out. Now we're fixing to find out whether this pastor is led by the Spirit or he's led by the flesh. Because he looked over at that little girl. He said, you devils of hell, I command you to come out of her in Jesus' name. He was doing exactly what the other pastor did. The little girl, 13 years old, which had no idea who he was, just turned her eyes over gently and looked him right in the eye and says, I don't have to obey you. You've been sleeping with your church secretary.
Wow.
Does that sound like he's being led by the Spirit?
No.
Who does that sound like he's being led by?
Devil.
The flesh. Yeah, the flesh. And so, do you think the devil knew that?
Yes.
Of course he knew that. He knew he didn't have to obey him because that man's not led by the Spirit. He's led by the flesh. And I don't have to obey you. Not at all. So, this is the way you can tell. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. Now, that part I like. I like life and peace. So, we want to be controlled by the Spirit. Okay, verse 7 and 8. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. Not just sometimes. It's always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. There's no way. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. So do you think there might even be some of us that are serving as deacons, pastors, evangelists, prophets that might not be pleasing God? That's still being led by the flesh? And do you know why we get sick? That's why we get sick. That's why death and destruction comes up on us. You know, now this is the hardest thing in the world for us to get a hold of. It took me a lifetime to get a hold of that. And right now I want to go back to this one, John 9, 1 and 2. And I want you to see this question. And this question, we never ask this question. But in the King James, I want you to see in John 9 and 1 what it says. The King James, John 9, 1 and 2. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, what was the question?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Who Sinned? In its entirety or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to the Living Savior Ministries teaching online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.